What is going on with Barcelona, and why was there this issue of signing players but not being able to play them?
It all started because of financial fraud from the previous president and his team.
The first thing which comes to my mind is that this club has insane pull. Mad. You've only been in the news for the wrong reasons over the last two seasons or so. And one of the best strikers in the world is willing to join you.
How they've handled the finances is very close to home because of the way how Glazers have handled United's finances. There's massive debt on the club. I think for United it's close to 600. For Barca it's 1.5 billion.
Whatever they are doing is working. We may not be big fans of it. It doesn't work in any other organizational setup. But sports is just different. It's irrational. And we are the idiots here. Shubham, you and I as well. Investing our time in football clubs that we support. It's the most toxic relationship in the world, supporting a football club.
For sure. Those of you who don't know when we're recording, this is on the day of the 4-0 Brentford United game.
You just had to mention it.
Our viewers need to know. Our viewers. It's for our viewers.
Sound like Arnab Goswami right now.
I'm so frustrated, dude. So frustrated.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans, for the fans. Quick roundup of all the hosts. We got all the four hosts back today. I'm going to run through everyone. Aniket, what's up?
Hi everyone.
We have Mazhar.
What's up, guys?
And also Shubham.
Hey guys, what's up?
So before we get into this week's episode, a quick reminder of last week's episode. We did a recap of the Premier League season. Everyone knows the Premier League is, well, if you follow football, you know the Premier League has just started. We did a quick recap of all the transfer movement that happened this last summer, what we see from what we expect to see from the top six clubs going into the new season, and just all around excitement, some parts that we're not so excited about, and how we see the next season going. With that, let's get into this week's episode. We're going to keep talking about football, but we're actually going to move outside of England, specifically to Barcelona. So for all of you football fans out there, you probably know there's been a decent amount of chaos for Barcelona. A lot of you are probably saying, well, didn't this exact shit happen exactly 1 year ago? What is different? That's the entire point of this podcast. We're going to go again into the never-ending Barcelona debt issues that are going on, how they ended up getting all the players that they have, what conflict do they currently have with the La Liga, why some of their players, despite having them, were at risk of not playing despite them already being signed. Maz, I'll go to you first. Just to, again, reintroduce all of us to this conversation, what is going on with Barcelona, and why was there this issue of signing players but not being able to play them? What's the underlying reason behind all of that? Just to set the stage.
Yeah, so basically, La Liga has a strict rule on how much clubs can spend in terms of payments in salaries to their players. Barca were at risk, even Madrid were at risk last season, but Madrid found ways to do it, and they did sell off a lot of their players, including Rafa Varane, and just the marquee signing with the big salaries, got rid of all their players, managed to rebuild in a very successful way, have a very good system that works. Barcelona were caught out because of the scandal that Bartomeu and co, the previous president of Barcelona, set up in terms of just fraud, literally fraud, financial fraud. So that drove Barcelona into deep shit because, well, then they didn't have money or liquidity for the club. Over that, they overextended their contracts to their players, who were overpaying a lot of them, signed people on massive wage bills. That's why they had to get rid of Messi in the first place. Let's not forget that. Because Messi was this huge burden in terms of all of that. So it all started because of financial fraud from the previous president and his team. It was a massive burden on the club. And then La Liga has their rule. I don't remember the numbers, but basically they can't cross a certain threshold in terms of payment of salaries, because that becomes sort of autocratic and sort of breaks the league up in a lot of ways, because it kind of can set up a system of complete dominance, which anyway exists with Madrid, Barca. It's just Atletico Madrid looking in from the out. But basically, it just made it way worse and looked way worse on paper. And that's the fact of the matter. And what happened is, obviously, that's carried forward because they didn't manage to clear that debt. Players have taken hits on their salaries over the last 2 years, in fact, and even more. Gerard Piqué being the biggest example. Frenkie de Jong as well took 1/3 of his salary for in the first year and then 1/5, if I'm not wrong, in his second year. So he needs to get paid more combined for those 2 years, and he's still willing to take a cut, and he's still getting booed by the fans. So it's just an ugly situation to be in. But yeah, that's the basic lowdown and how it started and why Barca have been struggling and why they couldn't register their players for the longest time because of this heavy wage bill and because they don't meet the La Liga financial fair play. That's the best way to explain it. If hopefully that covers everything.
No, that's perfect, Mazen. I think you hit on one of the biggest points, which is, and we spoke about this in one of our previous episodes as well, the La Liga financial fair play rules are far, far significantly more intense and strict than the broader European UEFA financial fair play rules. So you are likely, it is a tough threshold for a lot of the teams to manage. Add to that, the internal drama at Barcelona makes it near impossible to actually hit the goals, which is why they've had the same issue last season as well as this season. The essential goal of the financial fair play rules in the La Liga is, like anyone would expect, basically similar to the financial fair play rules of UEFA. You're supposed to basically spend as much as you're bringing in essence. And they basically set an exact amount for each club on how much they're allowed to spend in transfer fees, as well as in salaries. And obviously that's influenced by players that are both incoming and outgoing. So you can make up some of that money by outgoing players. Gui, I'll go to you next. Must spoke a little bit about some of the things they've had to do to manage that cap from a player perspective, specifically talking about the Piqué salary cuts, the De Jong cuts. Outside of that, just from a business perspective, because that's going to make a small difference, but the bigger perspective are some serious revenue-generating moves they've had to make. Can you talk a little bit about what they've done to actually be able to register their players now and somewhat cross the threshold that the La Liga has set?
Oh, it's not been just one thing, right? I think it's happened in the past also where they've sold 1/4 of the stake in Barca Studios, quote unquote, which is, you know, their way of exploring content surrounding the club. They sold 25% in the past and they've done it again. And I think it's a $100 million thing, right? Which kind of raises a lot of capital very quickly. As you could sell, I don't know, you could probably not pay Frankie de Jong his salary for a few more combined seasons and still not cover as much ground. And it's not been, I mean, you know, we just said that Barca done like had like a scandalous past, but they've also had such fixes in the past as well. This 25% is the second time they're selling stake in Barca Studios. They've had, if I'm not wrong, another separate move which generated a fair share of capital for them. But yeah, and these are the quick fixes which they've used to kind of meet the income generating side of the financial fair play, which is required before you can meet large player salaries and even registering new contracts, which they had to do for Dembele and I think I can't really place who it is, but they offered 2 players new contracts, which they weren't being able to register. So it's not just the new signings who you can't register. It's your current players also who you can't really offer.
I think it's Sergio Roberto, I think is the second one.
And they are offering him a new contract. Also another Barcelona problem. Yes.
I think just to add to what Gui said, the other income generator, revenue generator that Gui was talking about, I think they've sold 49% of their merchandise arm. So that is another source of revenue that they've gotten.
Just to clarify, the Barcelona board had approved the sale of the Barca licensing and merchandising arm, the BLM arm, and they were looking to sell up to 49.9% of that group. However, given the amounts they've raised from other sources, they aren't looking to make that sale as of now. So as of now, they've not sold that group as yet, but may look to do so in the future.
And if I'm not mistaken, their Barcelona Studios or their whatever TV rights that they've sold 25%, I think when they've activated the fourth lever, like Gui said, they've sold more than 25%. So I think that's close to 49%. And I think that's for a period of 25 years. I don't know if they've sold it like permanently, but I think it's only for 25 years. And I don't know what happens after 25 years. Do they get it back or what happens? Not sure. But I think for 25 years, it's sold. And that's the way these guys are generating their revenue.
Yep, that's exactly right. And something interesting I saw, which maybe is just everything that Barcelona does is not profitable. Apparently, even the Barca studios that have sold are not profitable currently. So I think the groups that are purchasing it are hoping to make it profitable. But you're exactly right, Malu. Just to confirm, I think the lever that you might have been talking about is they also sold 25% of their domestic television rights to the investment firm Sixth Street. That's the thing that's going to be for 25 years. I think the Barca studios, which is a separate thing that they've sold, that is more of a permanent sale. And they've exactly, I think like you both covered, they've sold 49%. So I guess they have 51% of this non-profitable studio creation where they make content, which is dope, I guess. But yeah.
And I'm just seeing this article. So basically these three deals have got them around 510 to 595 million pounds. So I think this amount of money that's come in is probably keeping them afloat, at least as of now.
That's a really good point, because I think from what we saw in the last couple of years, they've been in debt of over a billion euros. So it
I think
might
it's
be
1.5 billion euros.
Wow. Okay. That's, yeah. So, I guess in the current footballing world, that isn't as crazy, but definitely with the regulations that they have in La Liga makes it much tougher to necessarily consistently maintain a squad. So they've managed to generate a lot of income. The good news for Barcelona is they've been able to register a lot of their players. So the players who are going to be able to play starting with their first game on Sunday against Rayo Vallecano are Frank Kessie, Christiansen, Robert Lewandowski have all been registered to play, as well as Dembele and Sergio Roberto, whose new contract has been registered. So the only person as of now who's missing is Jules Koundé, but it looks like y'all were saying pretty likely they'll end up figuring out before the transfer window closes, which is really the only stress point. If they don't get it done before, then he just can't play, which is going to be horrible, but it looks likely they will. Malu, I'm going to ask you a broader question, because it's more of an emotion-based question. And we talked a lot about the technically what's happening. What do you feel about all this? How do you feel about Barcelona having the financial struggles they are, having the restrictions they've had, and not only signing the number of players they've signed over two seasons, some have been free transfers, but then also asking their current players to make all these pay cuts? I mean, it's on one hand, it makes the team better. And he's, you know, Laporta said he owed this to Xavi once he signed with Barcelona, saying he'd give him this team. But on the flip side, like Mazhar said, it leaves a very bad taste in the mouth. But what are your thoughts on it?
So I'll answer your question in two parts. The first part about how they've handled the finances is very close to home because of the way how Glazers have handled United's finances, which is obviously not the greatest. There's massive debt on the club. I think for United, it's close to 600. For Barca, it's 1.5 billion. Barca, they just had corrupt officials. Glazers, well, they aren't corrupt. They are 100%. They are the official owners, but they don't run the club the way it should be run. They just take dividends, suck money out of the club. So obviously, in terms of Barcelona's finances, the way it's been handled is just not correct. And what I find like just hard to understand and believe is if this has been happening systematically over, I don't know, say 3, 4, 5 seasons, where were the officials? Where was La Liga? Where were any of the governing bodies? And why is it that when like shit hits the roof, at that point in time, everyone is coming in and whatever, taking action. When this is happening over a period of time, why wasn't it taken care of? So this is perhaps a bigger question in terms of rules, regulations, compliance. I think it would probably be a good case study for La Liga also as an organization to try and understand how can we let one of the biggest clubs in the world get screwed up like this. And the second part of your question, that Barcelona going and signing players, I firstly think it's kind of like hats off to them to still be aggressive in the transfer market, to still get in big names, to still spend the money out there. But I'm not quite like, see, I'm not read too much about it, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not quite sure about how these guys are planning the future ahead in terms of financially. You're bringing these players in. Players are taking huge pay cuts, which is like very generous and nice of them to do. But at the same time, you have a situation like Frank de Jong where you owe him like 18 million euros in wages. Now you're arm twisting him because you want him out of the club. He has a new contract, which is now supposed to be illegal and they want to take him to court for it. So it's very shady. It's in the gray. On one side, obviously they're signing players to make the team strong, which they need to. But the existing players, a lot of players who are not taking their full wages and they're deferring it for the next season or the upcoming years. Will they actually be paid? How will situations be handled? So, yeah, like it's a very difficult question to answer because I think it will unravel in the perhaps coming 2-3 seasons as and how we get to know more about this situation.
Malu, that was perfect. A perfect summary of everything that's going on and your general feelings about it. I'm going to open it up to Gui and Mazhar, you both as well. Whoever wants to take it can take it because it is kind of a broad question. Anything else you would add in terms of how you're feeling about it and your general reaction to Barcelona in the way they've gone about their business, let's say, this last summer?
So the first thing which comes to my mind is that this club has insane pull. Like this is not normal level of pull. This is the mad. I mean, you've only been in the news for the wrong reasons over the last 2 seasons or so. And one of the best strikers in the world is willing to join you. Okay. Potential to be great kind of players are joining you, which is fine. Okay. People are willing to take salary cuts to stay back, who would be accepted elsewhere without much of an issue. Usman Dembele, of course, I'm sure he's on a bigger contract than he'll ever get after how well he has performed in his Barca career. All right. Is willing to renew. I mean, I don't understand. Is this like a collection of bad apples or is everyone genuinely so paralyzed by the enamor of Barcelona, which has, you know, been kind of been in place since the late 2000s-ish. I'm really, really confused. Like, it runs out eventually. We've seen it several times that the only thing which can charm everyone is cash, and that is what they're low on. and yet they register what, 5-6 signings?
Four signings and Koundé is on the cards.
It's just surprising because it's not something I thought they would manage, considering. And even last season I thought the club is going to most certainly be nowhere. All right. And because there are presidential level scandals, where what more do you need for a club to collapse? And let's be honest, like for every Arsenal fan, that club is a pain point. Okay, so I was secretly enjoying it, but then again, okay.
Listen, don't get too excited. They'll sign Jesus next season. Don't get too excited. Don't poke the bear. Let them be. Let them. They'll unnecessarily go and sign our best guys later.
So, just to address what Gui said, I think there are 2 major aspects as to why this happens. One is obviously, as Gui rightly mentioned, the enamor. This is Barcelona we're talking about. The second best teams right now in Madrid. I mean, in Spain, after Madrid. So regardless of what you say, they are still that big. One of the biggest clubs in the world, have won multiple trophies, are in for a shot for every title, every season. And it's Barcelona as a city. The weather is great. The lifestyle is amazing. Cost of living is cheap. Taxes are less. It's all of these aspects as well that you can't ignore. So if you are a top player in Europe, you're going to England or you're going to Spain. There's no other option. And PSG is there. But then PSG, there's so much of pressure that now people don't want to sign up for that. Especially with Messi going, plus Mbappe, plus Neymar. No one wants anything to do with that anymore. That's too much of weight. Barca's rebuilding. They've got Xavi. People, all of these players have looked up to Xavi. We're talking about one of the greatest players of all time in Xavi. Definitely one of the greatest midfielders, at least. I don't want to go so far also. But what I'm saying is, it's all of these factors that you can't ignore. And tomorrow, if you're telling me that Barcelona came in calling for me, it's hard to say no, regardless. And if they are promising you that you will get to play, these guys make big bank, so they'll be willing to take those cuts. But the problem is, people need to realize that sports teams and sports clubs, although they are organizations, don't function as any other company. That's the difference. If Barcelona was a company and not a sports team that has so much history associated with them, it would be a terrible, terrible organization, right? Imagine having bad owners or bad managing directors on your board of directors, incompetent people who are making the executive decisions. Employees would be disgruntled and leave. Here, it's like, do you want to give up this lifestyle? You are sitting, you are enjoying, you're getting your football. At the end of the day, footballers love to do what? Play the game. If they're getting their weekly football day in, day out, still living a good life, a lavish life in Barcelona by the beach, by this amazing sort of experience. Who doesn't want to live in Barcelona, right? I think all of those things have to be considered, and Barcelona knows that. And that's what they've done really well. So it's, although it's a terrible way to run the organization, it works for them. They are self-centered. They know what they know. They have the power, and they're milking it. Joan Laporta, this is his second time in his presidential role. Let's not forget. He's been through that. He's done it all. He's been a successful president for them. He works with the fan sentiments. Taking all of that and keeping all of that in mind, it makes a big difference. Additionally, Barcelona is still projecting a $1.3 billion revenue at the end of 22-23, which means they will potentially be looking at a $400 million profit by at the end of the year, because they are expecting 900 million worth of project spends. Money still coming in somehow or the other. They are going to pay their employees. At the end of the day, two things matter for a football club: success, especially if you are an elite football club, success and paying your and keeping your employees happy, who are your football players and your staff. If you're managing to do that, by all means. So I'm saying whatever they are doing is working. We may not be big fans of it. It doesn't work in any other organizational setup, but sports is just different. It's irrational. And we are the idiots here. Shubham, you and I as well, investing our time in football clubs that we support. It just works. It's the most toxic relationship in the world, supporting a football club. But Barcelona know what they're doing.
But you know, I just have one thought on this, that I agree with you guys that there's this amazing pull, history, location, money, everything is good. But I just have a feeling that Barcelona is still walking on thin ice. And if they don't get their shit together, there's only so much that you can expect people to help you or people to be charmed by your history and all of that. Because see, if their finances are not in place, today they are using all these levers, they're selling stake in their club. In the future, what will they do? Will they sell more stake to an extent where they will not have 51% also left? If you don't have 51% left, then you have people dictating terms to you. You perhaps can't run the club the way you want. Finances start drying up. And see, at the end of the day, all footballers want to make money. How much pay cut will you take? Okay, Gerard Piqué loves the club, grew up in the academy, has crazy level of affection to the club. Not everyone else will have it. So I think they definitely over the next 2-3 seasons need to sort things out. But only one thing which I find very interesting, Barcelona as a club is not privately owned like some of the, like most of the Premier League clubs, right? It's a club which is owned by the fans. And I was just reading up, so I don't know how accurate this is because I saw it on one website. It is owned by members. And these members are members of, I don't know, fans or members of Barcelona, Catalonia, whatever. And there are 140,000 of these members. So I just feel like if such drastic financial fraud is happening, you're basically doing fraud with the fans to an extent, because I believe somewhere or the other, it is not just their emotion. Maybe they are financially also involved. So if such drastic like nonsense is going around behind the scenes, I would imagine this would have a massive cultural impact in Barcelona, in Catalonia. So yeah, you know, if Barcelona, literally it's like that movie Too Big to Fail. If Barcelona do not get their shit together in the next 2-3 years or seasons, and which leads to some massive repercussions for the club, I think it's going to be like a cultural revolution or like a revolt or something that will happen.
You're absolutely right, Shubham. One more thing is, like you said, right? Players don't care because they have short-lived careers. All of these guys they've like, fine, Kessié is young, Rafinha is young, but Christensen and Lewandowski, they'll make their money, they'll win some trophies, and then they'll go, right? So for them, it doesn't matter. So they aren't concerned as much. Yes, people like De Jong and all have been stuck, and it's been unfair. De Jong, Longley, Ter Stegen, all three of them being threatened to be taken to court for illegal doings, which is not their fault, and it's Bartomeu's fault. So it's just like really ugly and a slippery spot. But the thing is, exactly what happens to the club in a long-term perspective. Like you said, 25 years, they've sorted that out with Sixth Street. But beyond that, what? Again, badly run business. How long will they survive? Because even La Liga then will be pressurized, because then La Liga will have to carry that burden as well, potentially. Do they want to do that? Can they afford to do that? I don't think so. So great point. We don't know. We'll have to see how it happens. But what I'm saying is, from a player standpoint, it works for them.
There's also an element, I think, with the selling of these assets of just kicking the bucket down the line, right? Because you're also, when you sell a stake, you're also losing the revenue, right? 50% of the revenue, that's what, 25% of the TV rights revenue is not going to come to them. 50% of the revenue, which now doesn't exist for their publishing house, but if it does exist, similar to when we think of Spider-Man, when they ended up selling, when Marvel sold Spider-Man to Sony and Sony milked the hell out of it and Marvel had to buy it back at a much, much higher price down the line. You can see a similar risk that Barcelona is running. They're not exactly, when you talk about getting this quick money, they're almost kicking the bucket down the line, because they're knocking out revenue generating options for them going into the future. So there is a little bit of trickiness with that aspect. And Malu, Maz, I love both of your points of how long can this keep going on? How many times? Like the last year, I was empathetic to the fact that, the financial fair play rules are new. They're getting used to being at a much lower rate than they were allowed the previous season. But this year is an exact repeat of last season. And I think that is what's really frustrating me about this, is that I feel like they've almost learned no lessons. And like y'all said, they're completely, completely milking their reputation. Last season, Gerard Piqué, Jordi Alba, and Sergio Busquets all had to take pay cuts. It's the exact same situation this year. Busquets somehow volunteering to just take money, have money taken away from him. There's only an extent to which this goes. We don't even know how many more years Piqué is going to be playing for Barcelona. It's not an endless stream. One of the craziest things I saw was Messi begging to say, like, yeah, I'll take as many pay cuts. He literally couldn't go any further than a certain amount because of a Spanish law that only allows you to take, I believe you can't take more than 50% less than what you made the prior year. And Messi had to leave, and him literally begging the club to give him less money to stay. And he's the greatest player in the world, arguably of all time. So you're right in the sense, what pisses me off about this is, I understand they're using the reputation as far as it goes, but they're definitely, definitely overusing it. And rather than the Kobe Bryant and Dirk Nowitzki that we saw in basketball of getting massive contracts right into their retirement and rewarding people for their loyalty, they're almost punishing people for staying loyal to Barcelona by forcing them to take pay cuts, which just feels shitty. And then there's the reverse. Beyond just the people who they are kind of nudging towards being willing to take a pay cut, they're just bullying people like De Jong into taking a pay cut. And this ties into my second point that irritates me is, they're making people take pay cuts for a very unclear strategy. The players that had to take pay cuts last season were for Kun Aguero and Eric Garcia. Eric Garcia, maybe you could argue, is going to start becoming an important part for Barcelona. Kun Aguero retired halfway through the season. He was a completely irrelevant piece. You look at the number of players that they bring in, and admittedly, a lot of them are free transfers, but players like Depay, Longley, they brought in Emerson Royal. They did some good piece of business, admittedly, to get him off his contract to later sell him to Tottenham. But they're bringing in all these players with a very unclear strategy. I understand Barcelona being a team that says, we're so good, we always want to win, and wanting players like Lewandowski. But then why are you bringing in players like Rafinha and Kessié, who need 1 or 2 years to develop, 1 or 2 years to grow? To me, it's bringing in players in this frenetic, frantic manner of, we have to be good. We have to be good. But I don't know what that means. We'll get younger guys who can get better in years, but we'll also get Lewandowski. And it just ruins the entire, like, neither group is going to be satisfied, right? De Jong is the perfect example. They've taken a young guy who had so much potential and have kind of basically somewhat developed him and then been like, nah, actually, we don't want to work on your terms anymore. You're not at the level that we're at. But I just don't see, I don't personally imagine people like Frank Kessie and Rafinha. I think that very solid players. I wouldn't be shocked if next season we hear they're looking to like get them off their contract. They're just not at the same level as Lewandowski or the other players that they're looking at. So the strategy seems very unclear to me. So the project rebuild is not even properly being executed, in my opinion. But guys, we have a lot of people here with really intensive, serious financial backgrounds. Not me. Everyone else on this call has some great. So we've talked a lot about the finances, the technical debt behind it. Let's just go back into football, guys. Take it easy for a second. Simple question to all three of you. Now this is their squad. There's still one other point. They're still looking to sign people, by the way. They're still not done. They're still looking at Bernardo Silva for Man City and highly likely Marcus Alonso from Chelsea. So it's not even like they've stopped business. But with the squad that they have, or maybe with signing these few players, where do you see Barcelona finishing next season, both in the Champions League as well as in the La Liga? And we can go in whatever order you all want.
I think La Liga, they get top four. I'll probably say like third is where I expect them to finish. Champions League, I don't think they make it beyond the round of 16. That would be my best bet.
So third is a very good shout, right? Considering Simeone still exists. I mean, sometimes that squad is really off. But I don't know. If this squad can gel well enough to reach second, I'd be kind of surprised. players who they signed last season could not finish last season. One of them is leaving this season. Five new people are coming this season. Doesn't really work, in my opinion, for a league season at least. Round of 16 for the Champions League, I think, is kind of selling them short. They do, in my mind, they can reach the quarters because it's a cup, right? So at the end of the day, you need two good games.
I think they'll win the league. I think they'll win the. I think they'll win the La Liga. Genuinely think so. I've not seen Madrid strengthen. I know they won the Champions League, but I've seen worrying signs. And at the end of the day, look at that team. I think Xavi knows what he wants to do with his players. They also had a decent run in the preseason with whatever they managed to play with. They had Aubameyang scoring goals. And Lewandowski's a clear upgrade on that. So I think Barca are in for a real shout to win the league. And I will go with them top two for sure. But I'm putting them... They're my pick for winning the title. Champions League is going to be hard because I just think the English teams are way too strong. I think City, Liverpool just have a different level. PSG is not going to get any worse either. Let's not forget that. Bayern have strengthened with Mane as well. So I would say it's going to be difficult for them. Quarters is, I think, the best they'll be able to do. Again, depends on who they get matched up with and what the groups work out as and so on and so forth. All those things are important, but I would say they have a shout for the quarters. But yeah, it's going to be difficult for them to progress beyond that. Again, all depends on the draw. If they get like a Benfica or a Porto or someone like that, great chance that they'll make it. But otherwise, not beyond the quarters for me. In the Champions League.
No, Barca are so lucky that they play in the Spanish League. Were they a club that was in the Premier League? Everything that we're talking about, even the attraction for the players, like for guaranteed success, to a certain extent, or challenging for trophies, that wouldn't have been the case in the Premier League. Because it's so bloody competitive. Like how all of us can sit here, even though Barcelona is going through like a financial turmoil and the squad is getting rebuilt. And obviously like Xavi is not even one of the greatest managers or like he has the most accolades, nothing like that, right? If they were in the Premier League, dude, they would have been all over the place. They would have been screwed up and how. So yeah.
Yeah, they probably would have been like a certain club right now that has won 20 Premier League titles. So
exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Those of you who don't know when we're recording, this is on the day of the 4-0 Brentford United game. So the United fans are in especially low mood, I have to say.
You sorry, just had to mention it. What, I had you to, yeah.
Our viewers need
it.
To know. Our viewers. It's for our viewers, not even for me.
You sound like Arnab Goswami right now.
I think the only league where United is really challenging for a top position is to become one of the clubs with the most debt. I think we are Barcelona at 1.5 billion and probably United coming in second. But yeah, other than that, United is not... at least Barcelona challenges for real trophies. Well, what does United challenge for?
You guys have missed a step.
Pre-season trophies.
Exactly.
Pre-season trophies. A stadium which is leaking all the time. That is what United challenges
was
for.
Was literally leaking on Zed. Literally on Zed seat in Stretford End. We were there and they've still not fixed it. That's how... that's the state of this club. That's the state of this club.
You know that Glazer, that he has like this little ponytail now behind. I feel like I'm wearing that ponytail of his, man. I'm so frustrated, dude. So frustrated.
I'm going to reel this in, but I know we're going to have a Man United podcast at some point. But you guys have to take a book out of Arsenal's page. Please create a cup at the beginning of the, before every season, the Emirates Cup. That we've created basically for us to win. We change the rules on goal difference just to ensure we win, but we don't always win it somehow, even then.
That's the best. There's some random, I don't know how most goals scored wins. What
a bizarre thing. I'm going to quickly give my prediction on Barcelona. I think to your points, Maz, last season they finished second. I think they've gotten much better. And Real Madrid and Atletico probably haven't, but I'm still going to stick with them at second because I think they got a little bit of a new manager boost at the end of last season when Xavi came in. So I think it's going to, I don't know if they'll be consistently as good as they are. They will be through the season as they were at the latter half of the end of the 2021-22 season. Champions League, I'm just going to say a round of 16. I think they make it out of the group stage, but then right out of that, I don't have too much optimism for them.
And their new manager boost had like 2-3-0 losses, 1-4-0 loss and all that.
And then they battered Madrid though. They battered Madrid in
that is not new manager bounce. That is old rivalry bounce. That is not new manager bounce.
You know, but because you're talking about Champions League, very irrelevant. But I really think the club to watch out this season, which is going to be a dark horse, is Tottenham. I really feel those guys are going to be... they will do something in the Champions League. I have a feeling.
Possible, but then they'll get knocked out to Dortmund only. You watch.
Let's see.
With that, it's back to us four, all four backs, which means quiz time. Muzz, you have the quiz questions. I'm going to hand it back to you. Go ahead, man.
What's the quiz on?
It's on Barcelona, guys. Okay. The quiz is very much on Barcelona, not around financial fair play and all of that, because frankly, no one's going to know anything. For sure. I was struggling. I was like, there's no chance anyone's going to guess it. This is going to be quick, guys. Let's see how it goes, actually. Then depending on that. Like I said, I'll pick someone out and then we'll follow an order.
Somehow, right? I feel like we will all magically end up at a very low total. We will cumulatively end up at a total which Mazar would have ended up at alone.
No, I mean, it's Barcelona, to be fair. A lot of these even I didn't know. So, anyway. They are relatively easier. I feel like Gui and Shubham at least will know that. Krishnan, your standards are anyway below the ground right now. but, okay, let's start. And I'll let anyone go. So this is like fastest fingers first. All right. So first question, when was Barca formed? You can raise your hand or utter the answer out. When was Barcelona formed?
1876.
1888.
I'll say 1892 because of some Spanish tamasha.
You are all wrong, but no. Krishnan was the closest. It's 1899. I'm not sure I should give a point for that, but Krishna,
bro, 92, 7 saal, both close tha, bhai, in the history of time. Okay. 7 saal.
Fine. Yeah, just fine. So that one goes to Krishnan. Okay, true or false? Barca was the first club to be formed with all Spanish players.
False.
False too. I'd say false as well.
Shubham?
True.
Okay, so Shubham, you're wrong. It's false. But now tell me, which was the first club in La Liga? That's a bonus point.
I'd say Real only because, I mean, they're the capital. Maybe it was something, some like agenda thing. Real.
Yeah, I would also say the same.
Now I will, for no joy, say something like Athletic Bilbao.
Ooh, that was a good shout. Because, I mean, their academy was only Spanish players, but not their team. It was Espanyol, which was the first team to field all Spanish players.
One second. Are Krishnan and I both getting points, or is it just me? Because this was fastest finger first, and I was first to say false.
No. I'll give both of you points. I said I'll change it up depending on that, because fair enough. I think both of you deserve points. Let's
bro, true or false, I'm not copying your answer, bro. True or false ke option mein. You're saying, oh, I copied my answer. Do you option the?
Okay. Third question. Who are Barca's local rivals? Which one's fastest?
Athletic Bilbao?
No, Krishnan, you're wrong. I'm going to give you give both of you a chance as well, Gui Shubham. Come on, guys. This one you should have known. You should be knowing this one. And you really should be knowing this one.
I'm thinking of other...
If they don't get it, can I just guess it? But I won't get a point. I won't give you points.
Yeah, I'll let you guess it. Come on, guys. We don't have time. We have many more questions to go.
Hey, give one hint, no.
Is it that team?
I don't know how you pronounce them. Rayo Vallecano something.
Vallecano. No, that's wrong. Guys, it's... Okay, Krishnan, want to guess?
Is it Getafe?
No, guys. No, it's Espanyol. Getafe. I literally said the club name before this. It's Espanyol.
Espanyol's in Barcelona, what? They're in...
Yeah, like, it's in Catalonia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's in the Sarre region. Who managed Barcelona's famous dream team?
Pep Guardiola. Isn't that the dream team? No?
Gui?
Krishna, I'm going to say anyone? It was 19... Like are you saying the old Champions League? In which case, I'll say like Frank Rijkaard or something. Frank Rijkaard.
Okay, Mazar. Forgive me for not knowing the name. Okay? He managed Rijkaard. It's that team. It's the team. It's...
Gui just threw
it. I vote on giving... If you can get the year they won the Champions League, we'll give it to you. I think. That's fair. Like, within 92. A range.
Oh my God. It's the Dutch dude who passed away.
Oh, yes. Cruyff. Cruyff.
There we go.
Cruyff.
There
we go. I got it. I nailed it.
No, but Krishna, I'm not giving you a point, but it was Johan Cruyff.
Hey, but,
I'm
but,
sorry,
but,
Gui.
But see, the team that Pep managed was also a dream team. Yeah, I deserve 1 point for that. Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. That was the quick
total
question.
Total football.
Shubham.
That man explained total football on a board.
Exactly.
And I forgot his name.
He was the reason. He managed Guardiola, and that's how Guardiola instilled total football into his managerial career. So it's Johan Cruyff.
Rijkaard was also in that team, right?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Guardiola and a few others. I want to give you the point, Gui, but Cruyff is too big a name to forget, so sorry. True or false, guys? Barca was founded by a Swedish person.
It seems too specific to be false. True.
Gui Shubham.
I think it was done by a Danish man, and Mazar just for fun has now said Swedish person. So I will say false.
I will also say false.
Absolutely right, Gui. Well done. It was a Swiss person though. So Shubham, Gui, 1 point each.
Malu stole Gui's answer though. Huh? Just
why?
No,
why?
Again. I was the bullshit Gui called last time. So I was calling it again. Bullshit Gui.
What? Okay, one more true and false. Barca are the most popular second team in Europe.
In terms of popularity, like, meaning what? In terms of fan base?
Yeah, so like favorite team of... So like we support United, they support Arsenal. So second team, if you have one, then Barcelona, the second favorite.
In Europe, you're saying?
In Europe, yes, in Europe.
I'll say false because maybe Netherlands or something like PSV has a massive fan base, maybe.
I'm going to say no.
Shubham?
I think it's true.
Absolutely right. It's true. Shubham is absolutely spot on. Good. Well done going against them. Okay. How many Barcelona players started the FIFA World Cup final in 2010 for Spain.
Oh, wow.
Okay, okay, okay. I'm going to say seven. Seven.
I say six.
Shubham? Shubham's trying to remember the lineup. I actually do remember.
I think I can too, actually.
I'm just trying to think.
Krishnan, your answer's locked.
Was David?
Yeah, I was thinking at six, but I'm trying to remember.
Was David Villa playing for Barcelona at that time? That's all I'm trying to think.
Mm.
That's a great question. And I would love to answer that, but I won't.
I think he was playing because 2011 Champions League final, he scored against us. So, I think he was playing. So, I will go with nine.
I think he joined after that World Cup. Okay, go for it, Mas.
It's seven. Gui is spot on.
Fuck. Damn it.
Casillas, Ramos.
Casillas is never a Barcelona player, man.
Aray, who was the one who really played?
Yeah, who else was not?
And I think Villa. I think Villa at that point wasn't just yet.
He was at Valencia.
I think so. I suddenly remembered Villa. And that's why I moved like two down.
Yeah.
Because I counted the two Madrid players and then I was like, nobody else must from them. So.
Okay. True or false? Camp Nou is the largest football stadium in Europe.
True.
False.
Wait. I said wait. Wait.
No, I'm giving my answer false.
Okay.
There's a bigger one. I think
Europe, like all across Europe or like the top four leagues, top five leagues? What are we talking
about? Europe.
Say no, yes.
I think false. I think Russia has a bigger one.
I'm going to say yes. It is the biggest.
Kui's right again. It is yes. It's true. It is still the biggest football stadium in Europe.
1,10,000?
90,000, yeah.
99,000 something it is. Official capacity, but I'm assuming it's size-wise and area-wise, probably.
What was the final score?
So, Shubham sadly dropped off. But Krishnan, you'll be happy to know that you have finished tied in second or rather tied third because then the second is separate, right? When it's too tied, so it's like, no. So, then it'll be first.
We both get second. We both get second. Fourth. The fourth would have been screwed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, Shubham and you finished with two and Gui with four. Well done, Gui. You just disappointed on the Cruyff one because you had it. You said everything right, but you couldn't remember his name.
Let me reverse the dab.
But yeah, good fun quiz, guys. And like I said, it wasn't the hardest. Let's be very honest. It's just that it's clear that you guys don't know enough about Barcelona, which is fine.
It's fine. They're going under anyway. You know, at this point, there's no point learning about them at this point. Chalega. Koi tension nahi. Anyway, Maz, thank you so much for organizing the quiz. For everyone viewing or listening, thank you so much. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure to leave a like, share with anyone else who might like it. Also, leave in the comments what you think of the whole Barcelona situation. If you have any other topics you'd like us to cover about Barcelona specifically, more broadly about football, or frankly, on any sport, we're always willing to cover it. With that, we're logging out for this week, but stay tuned for next week for another episode. Thanks so much. Bye. If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.